Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Verse 10. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength." So now it's time to allot the land, and who really should be first up to get their pick of the choicest land? It should be Caleb. So he rolls up and he says, "It's time to get the land. I'm 85 years old, and Moses told me that I and all my descendants were going to inherit this land. And here's the land I want." Ready? Beachfront property. That's not what he's going to ask for. "I'm going to ask for, give me a nice, beautiful spot on the shores of the Sea of Galilee." Nope. You know what he's going to ask for here in a minute? Let's see. "Now therefore, give me this what, everybody?" Dude, you're 85. Don't you want some place that's flat and smooth? One of the reasons why he is so agile of body and sharp in mind is because he doesn't mind staying in the battle. And what if God said to you, "Your choice, your pick, any place you want to be, where would you be?" Whew, there's a couple beachfront places I'm thinking about right now. That's what I would do. Because as a rule, I like comfort way more than conflict. But how many of you guys know that it's the challenge of the conflict that makes me need him? Watch what Caleb says. "Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there." Where would you like to go, Caleb? You're 85. Would you like to retire? I can't find retirement anywhere in the Scriptures. It's a social distinction, to be sure, and I get it. I mean, at some point, shouldn't we want to rest a bit more? Where would you spend out your last days? Caleb says, "Give me the mountains where the Anakim are still holed up." Seriously, Caleb? He's amazing. "I'm ready to fight." Remember, the war has been won. Joshua has won the war. But there's some mopping up that has to do. There's little pockets of adversaries. One of the scariest adversaries would be these Anakim. One of the cities that the Anakim hole up in is a place called Gath. And many years later, there's going to come a champion out of Gath. His name is Goliath. And David's going to have to take him on. So there's still some Anakim, there's still some giants around. So there's Caleb. "Caleb, boy, are you spry. Isn't it time to retire?" I don't see retirement in the Scriptures, beloved. When it comes for serving God, you may not work 40 each week. You know, maybe that is the difference in your situation. But even still, do we ever really and truly retire from ministering to and for God? I don't think so. It may be that the Lord will be with me. It may be. And I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord says. Why was he so sharp? I think because he was still in the fight. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. Does that ring a bell? Hebron, by the way, is the city that Abraham made one of his very first fellowship offerings with the Lord. He builds an altar there. He changes the name from its previous name to Hebron because Hebron means fellowship. And Abraham was pretty amazed by the fact that this God who called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, which is to say Babylon, and then said, I love you and I'm for you and I have a plan for your life. And he throws off all of his old culture of the Babylonian, whatever they were doing at the time. And then he makes an altar there for the Lord. And because the Lord met him there, the living God met him there, he calls the place Hebron. Fellowship. Follow with me. Hey, Christian, where would you like to go? Well, I like what Pastor Steve said about the different areas. Lord, would you give me an area that's, well, frankly, convenient and maybe a little comfortable, please? And God, in his love, just may give you that because he loves you like crazy. And his devotion and passion for you is not based on your performance, praise God. But does comfy equal sharp and agile? Does confrontation in the spirit, does warfare for him and his ministry? And when you step up and stand up for God, you stand out for him and the enemy is coming after you. Who wants that job? But when you do, because you need him, because you got to cry out, oh God, this is hard. And there are giants in the land. God says, because you're spending your time on your face and your knees, you're living in Hebron, my son, my daughter. You're fellowshipping with me. And Joshua blessed him. Yahshua said to the well-tested, a lot of miles on that saint, 85 years old. What God's people need is not comfort, in my opinion. Keeping God's people strong is battling the Anakim, the giants. It's God allowing the giant difficulty in your life, the giant disappointment, the giant difficulty, the giant heartbreak. Oh, you had to hit your knees because you couldn't breathe. And I don't mean figuratively. Have you ever been there when you couldn't barely draw a breath? What are you doing, God? And letting some giants come into your land. Because giants require people to get on their knees and get on their face. And when you do, that's Hebron. That's fellowship. You know what Caleb said about that? That's bread for me. Talk about your wonder bread. There's your wonder bread right there. Overcoming giant challenges leads us to Hebron. Fellowship with God. I have to cry out. I have to wait upon. I have to trust completely the living God. Because when I'm comfortable, I tend to disregard and distance myself. Verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba, which means loud. Change the name from yelling to fellowship, Hebron. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. We know about Goliath, we get a bit of a measurement depending on what cubit you use, Goliath could have been 10 feet tall or maybe larger. And this guy, Araba, he was the greatest man among the Anakim. And the land rested from war. We're done with our study because I want to spend the last part of our time. Would you join me in the book of Matthew chapter 24? About this idea. God desires worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? 30-some years I've been a believer studying the Scriptures, and every year that I think I get this one worked out, some new facet opens up. Worshipping Him in spirit and truth is many, many things. But I know in my own experience, worshipping Him sometimes in spirit and in truth, when I was gripped with the sudden crushing truth that I can't go on like this. I can't do this by myself. Whatever the this is in your life. I know what it has been in my life. And then when you lift your hands because your head is too heavy, I think there's something powerful about that. I know that worshiping is pretty awesome and I love to do it. But I think there's a culture growing, especially in the Laodicean age of church, where the music, the power of the instruments and the lights and the sound, and believe you me, I love a good audio visual. That's my background. I come from that. I like it. But I think that there are those situations where people can come to a service and they're so overtaken by the power of the performance on the platform, and I'm blown away as I get to watch somebody else worship. Are there those who are coming to those services because they want to get blown away? Blow me away, Spirit of God. Please? And I hear it in so many of the songs on the radio. A lot of it is this way. Lord, you're so awesome to me and all the things you do for me. There's not a lot of, you are awesome and holy. And in the Laodicean church, remember, these are churches as described in the book of Revelation chapter 3. These are churches that would believe, if hooked up to a polygraph, that they're really doing really well. And most of the congregation would attest to the same phenomena. Man, what's going on around here is awesome. But then Jesus said, but you don't understand. You're not full and rich. You're naked. Wretched and poor and blind. You can fix that. Well, how? Says the honest heart. Ask of me gold refined in the fire. Ask me to put you on the mountain where the Anakim live. That's going to separate real fast why you go to church and what your worship is, what you bring to the worship time, the corporate worship time. How was worship today? Well, you know, last week was a little better. Really? Well, last week they did this song that I really like. I'll come next week too, and I hope it'll be better this time. Because they're kind of going to church and worshiping in what manner? What's in it for me? Verses. Moses, I'd love to show you my full self, but I can't. If I were to show you who I really was, you couldn't withstand the holiness. So I'll just have to let you taste a bit of my afterglow. Don't forget that the brilliant, beautiful creatures, the cherubim, anybody who does visit the heavens, usually in the form of a dream, that's one of the creatures they almost always comment on, are those living creatures, and how beautiful and how powerful. Do you know what they do? They fall down on their face, and they cry, holy, holy, holy. May God teach us at Harvest to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Maybe there's a full band on the platform. Maybe there's a dude in the guitar. Maybe there's somebody just a cappella. But it's not about what's coming pouring off the stage, and I hope I get swept away in the current of that powerful decibel level. Oh, I pray that we are wrecked in worship because we focus on an amazing holy God who saved me this week from my giant. Matthew 14, verse 15. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you guys know the story, right? By the way, this is Jesus moving really since chapter 13 in Matthew. He's not so much concentrating now on the nation of Israel. He's pouring into his boys. And lesson number one in preparing them for when he is not with them is it doesn't matter what you hold in your hand. If God says move, you can do it. You can do this. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass. He took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, looked up to heaven, blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they, how many ate everybody? They all ate. They were what? They were filled. And they took up 12 baskets. How many disciples are there? Every disciple gets a basket. Now, verse 21, those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now picture, if you will, it's evening time. How long would it take to disperse that much food to that many people? It'd take a long time. Maybe I'm overactive in my imagination, but I see the guys, they're near the Sea of Galilee, and perhaps near the shore, and everybody's full. Nom, nom, nom. That was awesome. And the sun's going down, and I'm full and satiated. And it's a beautiful sunset. The time of the year is about spring. So sunset's about 7 p.m. Temperature's nice. Can you hear the birds? Ah, and I'm full. Life is good. You know, I like this travel with this Jesus guy. He's pretty awesome. Freeze frame. Do they know Jesus? Well, yeah, they know an aspect of him. But do they know him? What are you talking about? Look at the next verse, 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray when evening came, and he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, because he had told them, "I want you guys to go over there." Tossed by waves, and the wind was contrary. Now it was the fourth watch. It's about 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. And if they took off at about dusk, because they were used to fishing all night, remember, how long have they been at it? The sun set about 7. They've been at this 7-8 hours. How tired are they? The way that the Sea of Galilee is set up and the way that the canyons work and the way that the weather systems in these mini subclimates suddenly appear and the wind comes whistling through the canyon and it kind of rolls around that bowl wherein the Sea of Galilee sits. It's truly amazing. Within a few minutes, the wind gusts can be over 60 miles per hour. And they can push the waves. Have you ever been to Tahoe in 60 mile an hour winds? What are the waves doing? And you're on the shore. Can you imagine being in one of these boats? And they have been rowing for 7 to 8 hours. Are they exhausted? Are they frightened for their lives? Yes. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now he went up on the mountaintop to pray so he could probably see them. And if this is near Passover, which it is in the other gospel, then the moon is in a full position. If you're in the Navy, it's called a commander's moon. They've got a nice commander's moon, and he can see them struggling. What did he just tell them about the loaves and the fishes? But evidently, that lesson was lost on them, and so now they have been given to fear. In some cases, maybe they're even starting to give up a little bit, thinking, I've made my living on this lake all of my life. I've seen some whoppers, and this is a huge one. I don't think we're going to make it, boys. When that thought probably happened to them, Jesus knew, so he said, you know, I'll just change physics, and I will walk out on the water to them. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Yeah, and they cried out for fear. Now it's even getting worse. Now they're seeing apparitions. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And I love that about Peter. Jesus says, right on. Come on. And when Peter had come down from the boat, he walked on the water. You know the story. But he saw the wind and the waves. It was boisterous. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. That's where worshipers come from. You've gone under. I even trusted the Lord a little bit, and I stepped out, and look where I'm at. I'm sinking. Lord, save me. Shortest prayer in the Bible. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him up and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Who has power over the wind? Now watch this. Then those who were in the boat came and saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Remember, 7-8 hours ago, where were they? Setting sun, pleasant evening, full tummies. This following Jesus is awesome. Did they know Jesus? Well, yeah, an aspect. But now that they've been through this storm, now what do they know about Jesus? Let's all stand. Whoo, Lord, thank you for Caleb. He's 85 years old. If anybody deserves a retirement with a nice retirement plan, it's him. He rolls up in front of Joshua. What land do you want, Caleb? Give me the mountain where the Anakim are with the giants. Who knows? Maybe God will use me. Oh, to boot them out. Oh, my Lord. Father, myself included, I would prefer comfort over confrontation, Lord. But like Caleb, I don't know that that's the best thing for me. And I thank you, Lord God, that there are times you allow some giants to come into my life. I know you in one way when it's pleasant and smooth sailing and my tummy's full. But when you came walking out on the water, plunged your hand deep into my drownings, and you pulled me up in one motion and set me on the boat and then calmed the storm, that's when I know you in a whole different way. So, Father, I almost don't want to say it, but, Lord, can I be a bit more like Caleb? To allow the giants in my life, because it's battling the giants that leads me to Hebron fellowship. And that's where I believe the true worshipers of God come from. Not what's in it for me, but, oh God, I need you. Oh, I need you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.